All right, good morning, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the middle of August 2023. I wanted to talk a minute about the fire in Maui, fire in Hawaii. Don't know what started it. A lot of chatter on the internet. Is that man-made? Is that artificial? I don't know. I think the point is, even in paradise, even in Maui, a wonderful, safe place. Never been there. Been on the Big Island a few times. Been on Oahu a few times. Things can happen pretty quick. It's really about one of the safest places you can be on the planet, and yet it exploded. Near as I can tell, there's over 100 people that either have passed or are gravely injured. What can you do to prevent that? Nothing. All you can do is say, hey, when things come, I have to be prepared. There's always a couple ways to be prepared. Number one, are you right with your maker? My wife and I have conversations about this. Usually it's one way. Usually I'm telling her what's the worst that can happen, and she gets mad at me. But that's number one. What's the worst that can happen? Well, you pass on. You move on into the next life. You're ready for that. You've done what you can to make sure your kids are ready for that. You've done what you can to make sure your friends know where you stand on the issues. It's said that you can't take anything with you, and that may be true of the money, houses, toys, but you take your honor with you. You take your reputation before God with you. And really, that's about it. What have we done in this life to speak what is true? So those guys are over there. They're suffering now. I don't know what they relied in. I don't know what they relied upon. It's a fairly prosperous place to live. It's hard to live in a place like that without having some sort of means. But number two, you got to plan for your family. I mean, if this can happen in Lahaina, if this can happen in Maui, where can it not happen? It can happen. We see what happens in the big cities. Antifa, BLM take over, and nobody's safe. Literally nobody's safe. It's becoming less and less safe if you just have white skin, especially where there's, well, I'll just leave it at that. I mean, look what's going on in South Africa. They're literally on a jihad to genocide the white race. This will not stop. It will not stop unless the white race rises up and does something. It will not stop unless the white race wakes up and says, this is going on globally. Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand. We have to generate a new understanding of ourselves, a revived understanding of ourselves as a people, as a race, as a united race, even though there's many different portions to us. What are we doing today? I'm asking myself that today. Where am I living in a good place? A lot of us, we don't have the opportunity to move. And that's fine. What can you do with what you have today? Because that's ultimately all it comes down to. What can I do today with what I have today? Nobody that I know has unlimited funds. I don't know anybody in that class. I don't know anybody even in the class next to that class. So what can you do today? Do you have water? It's funny, in Lahaina, right in the middle of paradise out there, middle of the Pacific Ocean, one of the big things that's going on right now, people have no water. You take it for granted. People have no water. It rains over there. It's not a desert. It rains over there. People have no water. You got a plan to get water? In my book, that's the number one thing you need. If you don't have water, you got 3 days. And even if you have enough to drink, life is tough when everybody gets diseases. Life is tough when you can't wash your hands after doing your daily bodily functions. And people start getting sick and getting diarrhea. Next thing you know, you got cholera. You got a plan to communicate with others. You got a network of people. Nobody can save themselves by themselves. We're all dependent upon one another. You got neighbors. You got friends. Do you trust them? Are you of like mind? Are they willing to go to bat for you? Will you go back to bat for them? Those are the questions. Those are the things that will come out in times like this. There's going to be great stories, there's going to be good stories, and there's going to be stories of abandonment and betrayal in Lahaina. There will be stories of abandonment and betrayal in Lahaina when people come out and say, hey, I thought you had my back, and they're going to look away in shame. That will happen. There's going to be other stories of self-sacrifice where other people will sacrifice even if they don't know the people. It's not just the upside. We always hear the story of the noble nature of man and the self-sacrificial nature of man. But there will be stories of abandonment and betrayal, even of family members. What's your plan for where you live? Do you have water? Who's your backup? Can you communicate with them? Big story out of Lahaina, big story out of Maui is the comms are down. People can't communicate. They relied on cell phone towers. They relied on internet lines, and the fiber optics are burned up. You have a backup plan for that? Doesn't have to be expensive. Does not have to be expensive. I've spent a good 10, 15 years of my life overseas, and we always have a backup, which is radios. They don't have to be sophisticated. They don't have to be hard to use, but there's radios that are the backup for where I've been overseas. Standard operating procedures. We drill with them every single month. All the family members will drill with them. Doesn't have to be super complicated. So I encourage you to think about that. Number one, make sure you're right with your maker. Number two, come up with a plan. I mean, the world's not getting safer. I hate to say that, but it's not getting to be a safer place. You look at the wars in Europe. You look at the war in Ukraine. You look at the rhetoric, the nuclear rhetoric surrounding that. I can remember a time in my life, not very long ago, when I was heavily involved in national preparations for major disasters such as earthquakes, hurricanes, volcanoes, and war. And there's limits to what the U.S. government can do for you. There's hard limits. It's one thing when a hurricane strikes, oh, let's say Louisiana, and you have a national effort to respond to a hurricane in Baton Rouge or perhaps in Puerto Rico. But if you get two of those going on at once, oh, baby, somebody's going to be left in the dark. Somebody's not going to get their water. Somebody's not going to get their security. You do that to five or six major urban areas, and it's a free-for-all. God knows what's going to happen there. It's going to be a free-for-all. It's going to be, you're on your own, buddy. And I guarantee you this, the federal government will save itself first. I guarantee you that. The government will save itself first, not you. And it's the same with your local forces as well. When something bad happens in your neighborhood, we've seen it before, they'll wait till the shooting is done before they show up. If something bad happens in your neighborhood, the police forces will take care of themselves first, their family second, each other third, their paymasters fourth. At the very best, we're fifth, sixth, or seventh, or eighth down the line. They're going to take care of themselves first, then their families, then each other, then their paymasters. You and I are way down the list. It's just reality. And I know we've lived in an era, we've lived in the generation where these things don't happen. I don't know about you. I don't want to be the last guy to clue in on this one. I encourage people just to have backup plans. You got a backup plan for water. You got a backup plan for neighborhood safety. You brushed up on your first aid skills. You got some extra Band-Aids around. You got a plan for communications when your cell phones don't work. It'll be the first thing that goes out. It always is. It's always the first thing that goes out. I was talking to somebody very close to me the other day, and there was a big football game in a downtown urban area where they were. And everybody's excited, but the cell phones didn't work. The system was overloaded, completely overloaded. It didn't work. People couldn't communicate. They lost each other. They couldn't get rides home. Uber didn't work. They couldn't make a phone call to get a taxi cab ride home. They couldn't figure out where they were. It was all overloaded. So think about that. On to the state of the political nation. We are in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. The regime, whatever you want to call it, is terrified. They're fairly certain that President Trump will be reelected in 2024. And so they're pulling all the stops out to find ways, legal and otherwise, in order to destroy him and destroy his followers. The fourth set of indictments, there's another, 15 indictments against him. This is unbelievable in this country. This is not legitimate. This is not a legitimate way to do politics, but you can see where the Democrat Party is. And I'm no friend of the Republicans. Okay, but at the very best, they're silent in the face of this. At the very best, they're silent in the face of this. At the most, they can get a couple people out there to have an objection. They object to the way this is doing, and that's it. That's all we'll do. They'll have their playholder. They'll pretend to be in opposition, but it's a very, very loyal opposition to the Democrat Party. They'll mouth a couple words just to pose in their holy righteousness, and immediately fold. This country's in dire straits. We are in dire peril. It's not we the people anymore. You've got a cabal running the show. They're not legitimate. I'm just going to say it. They're not legitimate. Now, for the average person, for me too, it's terrifying to say those words. It's terrifying to say those words because they very well could come and get you. Read a story about a man, some guy 70-some years old. FBI shows up at 6:15 in the morning, shoots him to death. Surely there was another way. It's meant to send a signal. They're sending a signal. We will shoot you to death if you say the wrong thing. He didn't do anything. Oh, he threatened violence. He did threaten violence. But nobody's done this to the BLM and Antifa players that actually did that violence 2 years ago. Burning down cities, throwing Molotov cocktails at police, trying to burn down federal government facilities. They didn't do this. They didn't bust in and flashbang BLM and Antifa members and shoot them to death in their own homes. Never happened. Did not happen. Didn't happen to the people that threatened the Supreme Court justices. Didn't happen to the people that all kinds of violence against conservatives and whites and Christians. Doesn't happen to them. But you're going to murder a man who said some things because he fits your profile. He's a white conservative man. They murdered him to send a signal to the rest of America. This is now America. This is now the United States of America. This is not a legitimate government. It's not a legitimate regime. It's not. And does it scare me to say that? Yes, it scares me. I'm already on their list. I'm already on the list. Jews hate me. Jews have been trying to get me terminated. I'm still working on it. I'm still out there. Problem is, I haven't done anything wrong. At least not wrong enough to terminate me yet. Sure wish I had a good attorney out there. Anybody out there, they can contact me. That'd be great. So we're in trouble. And the only thing, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, what about this war in the Ukraine? What about this war in Europe? I mean, what if you wanted to hide the crimes of mankind? What if you wanted to hide the crimes of the rich and the powerful and of an entire political... Maybe you have a war. Let's say there's all kinds of malfeasance going on. Bribes in the billions, doctored vaccines that weren't meant to help but were meant to murder and kill. Child kidnapping rings that make Epstein Island look like nothing. Plans within plans. What if you had a big war? You could eliminate a lot of people. You could suspend. You don't even have to pretend. They've already suspended the Constitution in many respects. First Amendment, Second Amendment. Boom, now you got carte blanche. Is that a goal? Is that a plan? Let's have a war with the Russians. We can utterly wipe out all political oppositions by painting them as co-conspirators with the Russians. Is that not what they did to Donald Trump from 2016 on? He's a Russian agent. He's a Russian plant. Finally, the FBI comes out at the end of his term, said, no, all of this was untrue. All of it was an utter lie. Complete fabrication and lie. You don't think they'll resort to the same thing again? Of course they'll resort to the same thing again. Absolutely they'll resort to the same thing again. What does that mean for you? We all have a limited time on this earth to make a difference for ourselves, our ancestors, our offspring. Where are you at with this? What's your life worth to you? I'll remind you of Gideon. I'll remind you again of Gideon. God bless Gideon. Gideon says he was a patriot. He was loyal. He was a Christian. But he was stuck in the gray man mode. Gideon was stuck in the gray man mode. He wants to be the gray man. He's beating out the wheat in the wine press. Moaning and groaning to God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Please save us. We know you can do these great things. He's trying to keep his head down, sneaking around, ducking down, hiding down behind things. Doesn't want anybody to notice him or see who he is. Does not want anybody to notice him or see who he is. Oh God, I love you. Help my country. Bad things are happening. He ain't going to stand up, put his head up. Oh, heck no. No, 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 no. Uh-uh, not me. Uh-uh, gray man. The Almighty comes down, taps him on the shoulder, says, hey, dude, stand up. Be a man. Stand up. Stop hiding out down here. You stand up and you speak the truth, Gideon. Oh, Lord, it's dangerous. I'm going to get fired from my job. They're going to kill me. Stand up, Gideon. Be a man. And I'll flat out tell you, this is the minimum that we're called to do as Christians. And my goal is to reach Christians. This is the minimum of what we're called to do as Christians. It's not some overachiever, you know, high standards Christian. It's the minimum. It's the minimum for every Christian is stand up and make your voice heard. I would remind you of what our master said, our king, our monarch, and that he is a king. He is a monarch. Get over this idea that he's some sort of religious figure. He's a monarch, and we've sworn eternal loyalty to our monarch, our king, our leader, Jesus Christ. He made it very clear. Hey, y'all want to follow me? You want to follow me? You want to follow me? He says, you better pick up your cross, buddy. Because he did not desire to make this easy for us. There is no greater honor on this planet than to follow Jesus Christ, regardless of the price. Following Jesus Christ means opening up your mouth. It means opening up your mouth and speaking the truth, speaking your conscience. Not waiting until the wind shifts. Oh, it's okay. It's safe to say now. We're still going uphill, man. We're still pushing this ball uphill. And we're at a very difficult point right now. And we need another 10,000 Gideons out there coming out of the woodwork that nobody knows. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares who you are. And you come out and you speak the truth. And you know what? Some of the people that are going to come out, people are going to look at them and say, who the heck is that? They're not special. They're and some people say, oh, they're just some crazy lunatic. But you know what? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I guarantee this is going to happen. There's going to be men and women out there who are going to be shamed by those of less ability than them because they have more courage than them. Mark my words. Write it down. There's going to be other men and women of great ability, great talent, great ability, great wealth, who are going to be shamed by the nobodies that come out and do the job that they're supposed to do as well. You don't know who you're going to affect. When I started all this stuff, my goal was to change one mind. I want to change one mind. I want to change one person. I want to change one heart. I want to change one attitude. I want to move one little tick on the meter in the correct direction, in the right direction. I hope I've done that. It's been an exciting ride. It's been a traumatic ride. But I'm on that bull. I'm going to keep riding. Going to keep riding. Can't kick me off. I'm going to hold on. Only way to get rid of me is, well, you already know how that story ends. But man, I want to recruit another 10,000 Gideons. People that just aren't anybody. and they open up their mouth, whether it's a podcast, a video, an email, a yard sign, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. And at a certain point, we're going to reach critical mass, and boom, things will change in a hurry. That doesn't mean it's going to get easy. I guarantee you, we are not going back to a 1950s, let's go vote for a D or an R. We're not going back to that. It's going to be messy, probably messy for a generation. But you're called. If you're listening to this, you're called and you're chosen to make a difference. Especially you pastors out there. Is it dangerous? Yeah, it's dangerous. Here's what's normal. It's dangerous. That's what's normal. You want to know what dangerous is? Go read the story of Jesus Christ. Go read the story of Peter and Paul and John. Was not John locked in prison? Or do we not believe the Gospels? Do we not believe the Gospel? Do we not believe that Jesus Christ said, hey, you want to follow me? Get a cross. Didn't Jesus Christ not say, hey, if they called me Beelzebul, how much more would they call you that? Did Jesus Christ not say this? Oh, but that's not 20th century Christianity. We want to go to church on a Sunday with a nice church and a nice pastor and just be respectable people. They called Jesus Christ a product of immorality and demon-possessed. They double slandered him. In fact, they slandered the Holy Scripture. When the Pharisees said that, they slandered the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit, calling him demon-possessed and a product of immorality, when in fact Jesus Christ was conceived of in Mary by the Holy Ghost, and he cast out demons by the Holy Ghost. They committed the unpardonable sin. The Pharisees committed the unpardonable sin. The leaders of the Jews committed the unpardonable sin. Y'all are worried about you. You committed the unpardonable sin because you and Susie snuck off and had a couple cigarettes. No. The Pharisees, the Jews, they committed the unpardonable sin when they slandered the Holy Spirit and saying that Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebul. They slandered the Holy Spirit when they said he was conceived of in immorality, when in fact it was the Holy Spirit that caused him to be conceived. They committed the unpardonable sin. That's who it applies to. The leaders of the Jews, they committed the unpardonable sin. There is no forgiveness for them, ever, not in this life or the next. Normal Christianity is going to cost you because it's such an honor to serve our King. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.